Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save big on your car insurance. It's really the best thing you can do with your phone over the next few minutes. Just call 1-888-FARMERS and start saving today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Take that for data.
That's right. We got Kerry Kittles coming up at the bottom of the hour. Former NBA veteran, played in two NBA finals. Now a Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. He will join us in 28 minutes or so. Rob, Colin Cowherd, the great show, The Herd. I was on there today, and I bring this up because on TNT, they are about to, you know, have the draft for the All-Star game. Do you like that? Are you feeling that? LeBron and KD are about to pick their teams.
I don't know. I mean, I think the first time when they were afraid to do it on TV, maybe I would have liked it the first time. I'm not going to lose, you know, either way. You know, the guys are eligible and then they get to pick. I don't think it's like that big of a deal.
Right. It's fun. It's a little something extra to it, but they're about to do it. But Colin and I picked our own teams today on this show. And I want to run the teams by you and see which one you think is better. Deal?
All right, I'll entertain you. Go ahead.
Do you not want to do it?
Go ahead.
I'm burdening listening. You. We don't have to do it. I'll entertain you. If you don't want to do it, say so.
Just go ahead. I just said I'll entertain the conversation. Go ahead. I'm listening.
My team, now the starters you had to pick from the starters. Wasn't like you could pick James Harden as a starter because he, you know, he wasn't a starter. So my starting five, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal, Joel Embiid, and Giannis. And I got James Harden and Damian Lillard off the bench. Colin had Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, LeBron, Nikola Jokic, Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, and I don't even remember who his last reserve was.
So the fix was in because it was his show, because he got the better team.
Really? Everybody thought I did. I think for the All-Star game, I had a better team, yeah. Maybe for 82, he even admitted, for 82 games, he think he had it. For the All-Star game, because I got two bigs that can post and shooters around them, I think I'm winning the All-Star game. And Giannis is going to play 110%. You know that. He's going to play the first three quarters hard. He's going to be the only one out there playing the hard in the first three quarters.
Because nobody's told him, you don't have to play hard. It's an All-Star game.
Because you've seen him in those games. Right. You know what I'm
saying? And we want you to know, you signed like a $200-something million contract. You're good. You're good. You don't have to worry about it. Don't kill yourself. Right. It's just a game that 10 minutes after it's over, nobody will remember.
But I think he helps me win those first three quarters. As you know, they count quarters now. So, but let's get to the topic at hand. Thank you for entertaining me. Seattle, Rob, this is just it's almost becoming comical. So here, first of all, it was Russ going public, right? A few interviews and saying he's frustrated, he gets hit too much, the line's got to do better. You know, they got to mix some things up, blah, 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 blah. Then it comes out that Russ, while he hasn't asked for a trade, the Seahawks have a list of four teams that he would go to if they trade him.
Right.
All right? Now it comes out today that not only are the Seahawks taking calls, answering calls on Russell, you know, a lot of teams, Rob, if you call and ask about a certain player, it's like, no, thank you. And they hang up the phone. Right. Or, you know, look, we're not trading LeBron. We're not trading Pat Mahomes. Are you crazy?
Or you say, don't call back here. Right.
So they're taking calls. But according to Diana Russini, it's even deeper than that. They're making calls. Right? Now, she said they're not shopping him. But they're making calls. And Rob, again, let's use the marriage analogy. If you tell your wife or even your girlfriend, let's not even go to marriage, that you don't want to break up, but you want to date other people. And you give her a list of four of her friends who you would gladly date if she wants to break up.
Right. Just say, you know, I'll keep you right here just in case I can't get any other action. And if I can, then I'll go the other way. Right. I'll do that.
And then she's like, well, you know, I mean, I want to stay together, but I'm going to call around and to a few of my ex-boyfriends and see if they want to get back together or something. Like this is getting ridiculous. And Rob, these are leaks. It's not like, I mean, both sides are probably leaking stuff.
It's messy because you just wouldn't assume that it would be this messy. Seriously. Like I don't know what Russell Wilson, the real thing, if you don't want to be there, they can't protect you. The line can't protect you. You don't like Pete Carroll. Go to them as a man and say thank you for the last 8 years or whatever it's been and the two Super Bowl appearances. But I just think I need a change in venue in life. And I want to do this with as much respect to the organization and to Pete Carroll and to the fans in Seattle. But I'd rather move on. I don't know what's so hard about. What's hard about that?
Well, a lot of times that can change your image.
No, but if I'm doing it, I'm doing it but behind closed doors. I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's going to get out.
No, but
Harden went behind closed doors.
Initially
he did. And then they weren't trading. And he played hard initially. And they were like, oh, yeah, we'll trade him when we want. He's going to keep dropping 40. Yeah, we good. And then he said, look, all right, y'all want to play that way? Then I'll lighten up a little bit. But anyway, I think that's it. Brandon Marshall, Fox Sports colleague on Fox Sports 1, First Things First, he said a couple weeks ago that he thinks Russell Wilson wants out, but he's trying to find a good way to do it that won't ruin his image, so he doesn't want to necessarily demand a trade.
I don't want to ruin your image. You just don't want to be there. Who wants a quarterback that doesn't want to be there? I just don't understand. Like, well, he doesn't want it to hurt his image.
Houston
like,
what, still wants Deshaun Watson.
What would be your way of getting out of not looking bad if eventually you move on? And Seattle says he wanted out. He didn't want to be here, and we accommodated him. Okay, I don't. If you want out, I don't know how you're going to dress it up any other way, Chris. If you wind up elsewhere,
he may just be trying to get them to trade him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he could say, I didn't, you know, I wanted to stay a Seahawk. Go Hawks, you know. I wanted to stay there, but they traded me. I mean, he said as much when he was like, I don't know if they're taking calls on me or not. Things like that. But bottom line is this, Rob. The Athletic reported earlier this week, that part of Russell's problem with the organization is that he feels like Pete Carroll has too much power. Pete had his two sons working there. One of them's gone now, but they both were working there, and he just felt like it was just unchecked.
Nepotism is rampant in the NFL, Chris. God. It ain't about Pete Carroll.
Well, no, it wasn't. But my point is, I was just throwing in his sons.
Okay.
I wasn't saying the sons are the problem. I was just throwing that in for
Andy Reid's sons work for the Chiefs. I'm just saying nepotism is bad.
But again, my point is not that Russell's problem is with the nepotism. I was just saying that Pete Carroll's kids work there. But his problem, according to the reports, is that he thinks Pete Carroll has too much power and he does whatever he wants. And Russell would like some checks and balances. I guess he certainly wants more say. And, Rob, if that's true, and if I'm the Seattle Seahawks, and it essentially comes down to Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, bye, Pete, It's been nice. Thank you for your service. You're fired. That's what I would do, and I wouldn't even think twice. The athlete is more important than the coach. They still have to go out and play. And Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Pete Carroll is a coach. So to me, it would be a simple decision. If that indeed is the big deal and that's what it would come down to, if Russell would be happy in Seattle, if there's a new coach, bye, Pete.
Makes no sense to me, all right? Because then if I'm the general manager owner, next thing you know, I don't like the general manager. So now I'm going to – now he wants me out. Now he wants me to sell a team. Now he didn't like the new coach we had. He doesn't like the new – well, you know, he might not like – he might not like the owner's politics or whatever. Next year, he finds out I'm friendly with somebody, and now he doesn't want to be here because he doesn't like my friends. Or he doesn't like the general manager. Or he doesn't like the team doctor. Or he doesn't like the way this is being run. Once you do that, you open yourself up, and if I'm a general manager – the coach first, and I'm next.
Why?
So how? Why would you feel? Why would you feel you would want to do that and empower him to that he can then, if he got the coach run out, he can run anybody else out of the organization. It just isn't what you would want to do. If there was a reason to say Pete Carroll should be fired, and ownership wants to do it, and you go to him and say, well, what do you think about Pete Carroll? Or where does he fit in and he doesn't have good words, then that's one thing. But to say, Pete Carroll, since he came from USC, all they've done is made the playoffs. They went to the Super Bowl twice.
You're not right. That's not
what?
True.
They've been to the playoffs how many years?
He didn't do anything without Russell Wilson.
Chris, it wasn't just Russell Wilson. It was the Legion of Boom.
Those
and the
guys
defense.
Were there before Russ got there. They were 7-9, Rob.
He was a game manager, Russell Wilson, when
he
started.
That's fine. All
he
I
wasn't.
Know,
it wasn't all
know,
about him. Stop.
I didn't say it was
stop,
all about him.
Stop.
But what I'm
he
saying is.
He was a game
is,
manager. He didn't even. Go look at his stats. They weren't that great. They weren't that great. It was about their defense.
All right.
I wouldn't
if it's
do
my
it.
Turn, is it my
I
turn?
I wouldn't
to speak?
Do it. You could talk
Pete
whenever
Carroll,
you want. I'll
Pete
turn my
Carroll,
mic off. Go ahead.
Pete Carroll has coached 6 NFL seasons without Russell Wilson. He's had 2 winning seasons in 6 years without Russell Wilson. 2. All right. And he's been with 3 teams. The New York Jets, the New England Patriots, and the Seattle Seahawks. And he's had 2 winning seasons in 6 years, including 2 with Seattle, where they were 7-9 both years. Marshawn Lynch was there. Some of the Legion of Boom was there. Russell Wilson shows up. All of a sudden, they go to the playoffs 8 times in 9 seasons. And they have a winning record every year. 8 of those years, double-digit wins. You tell me who's the reason we're winning. Now, Pete Carroll's fine. He's a good coach. Obviously, the Legion of Boom was fantastic. Marshawn Lynch was great. I'm not saying Russell Wilson was the only reason. But Russell Wilson's leadership and character is what took that team to the next level. It's all in the numbers. And Rob is acting like, oh, no player's ever gotten a coach fired. Every time that happens, then the owner's in trouble. The general manager's in trouble. Well, did you get mad at Magic Johnson, Rob, when he had Paul Westhead fired? Paul Westhead had won a championship with the Lakers. And Magic Johnson said, no, him or me. And he was gone, and the rest is history. Did you get mad when LeBron said it's time to move on from David Blatt? He's got to go. Ty Lue steps in, they win a championship. So stop it with the players can't say anything about the coach. History proves otherwise. And I like Pete Carroll. He's fine. But all I'm saying is if it comes down to Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson wins. 877-99 on Fox. Let's see what the listeners think. Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the odd couple. Would you pick Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll if that is indeed the question up in Seattle? Your turn to weigh in with the odd couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a TV theme song Thursday. And we are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Also, we're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup, free next-day delivery also on products of more than 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. All right, 877-99 on Fox, your turn to weigh in. If it comes down to Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, which one you got?
Bruce in South Carolina, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What you got?
Oh, hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Rob, thank you for entertaining my call as well. One thing I will say is that you got to keep Russell Wilson because truth is with Pete Carroll, you can almost make a case that, remember, the Legion of Boom, half of those defensive players left because they claimed that Pete Carroll's voice got very dead in the locker room. And now with Russell Wilson wanting to leave, maybe an argument that Pete Carroll lost the locker room and this is the final piece. So to save it, get rid of him, I got to keep Wilson. Seahawks never had a franchise quarterback. He's the best quarterback they ever had. Got to keep
him. Yep, I agree.
Harvey in Oregon, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
I'm saying you keep Pete Carroll because Russell Wilson, you know, the NFC Championship game against the Packers, he threw four interceptions, and if it wasn't for the defense, they lose that game. Same thing in the Super Bowl. They put the ball in his hands, and he throws the interception to lose the game. So to me, I stick with Pete Carroll. And they talk about Pete Carroll losing the locker room. If I recall, a lot of the defense got unhappy with Russ because the way he was treated, like he was treated better than all the other players. Like if he was to a higher standard and they didn't hold him to the same standard as the other players.
All right. There's your point.
Max in Georgia, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Max?
What's up, my guy, Rob? I'm rolling with you. And, hey, I got two solutions. I'm keeping Pete and I'm rolling with the double Ds out of Texas. Give me Dak or give me Deshaun. I happily make that deal since they've lost that title,
Deshaun,
he's won one playoff game.
Deshaun? Yeah, if you're getting Deshaun, that's not the question. You don't know who you're getting.
I just gave you a solution to the problem. Go ahead and ship Russell out. We don't need him.
You don't need him.
We don't need him.
Really?
We don't need him. He's won one
playoff game. How many playoffs has Pete Carroll gotten to without Russell Wilson in his whole career?
Hey, how many Super Bowls has Russell Wilson got to without Pete Carroll?
He's had one coach. Come on.
Benjamin in Miami, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Benjamin?
Hi, guys. By the way, I love your show.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. I think you got to stick with Russ 100%. I mean, think about it. Pete Carroll wants to run like a running and defense offense. Like, it's the new NFL. You got to throw it. Also, the Seahawks have one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And Russell Wilson is a spectacular QB. Like, you can't run the ball with and middle of the pack running backs. It's just not going to work. You got to stick with Russ.
Good call. Because to have a mainly running offense, your defense better be stout. And that was fine with the Legion of Boom. But without the Legion of Boom, you better put it up in the air because your defense isn't good enough to support a mainly running offense. Good call, Ben.
877-99 on Fox. Is that it, Rob G?
So what do you think happens here, Rob? How do you think this thing ends?
No idea. Just a guess. I just think that it'll stay the way it is. That's
so
it.
Russell Wilson will be their starting quarterback next year?
Yep, that'll be it. I doubt that there's any movement there. I think both of them will be back, and I think they'll play it out.
Well, they certainly shouldn't trade him before – what, Rob G, is it June 1st or July 1st? June 1st. If they trade him before June 1st, the cap hit, the dead cap hit is like 36 million or 39 million. It's ridiculous. If they trade him after that, it goes way down. So I definitely don't expect to see him move before that. But, man, there is a lot of smoke here. And there's – I mean, other teams are being mentioned – where he might want to go. They're not only taking calls, they're making calls. I would not trade him. I was saying that, you know, a week ago. But with all this extra stuff that's come out, it just seems like parting of the ways may be evident. All right, we got our man Kerry Kittles coming up next. And he's a former NBA veteran, going to give us a lot of NBA talk. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. You can call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your car insurance. He's a former NBA veteran, played in two NBA finals, now a Fox Sports NBA analyst. Our man, Kerry Kittles. Kerry, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Man, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. The first half is ended, and, you know, everybody's asking, who's the first half MVP? I've got Joel Embiid as the MVP, and I got LeBron second, James Harden third. Where are you at on first half MVP?
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted out today that Harden was my pick for MVP. But you make a fair argument with Embiid, with how he's playing this year. He's upped his scoring quite a bit from last year, and he's just been playing well. He's at first in the East. There's a lot of reasons why that Embiid is, you know, could be favored to win MVP. But I just think what Harden has been able to do this year, when you actually think about what he had to overcome with getting traded, right, mid-season, and how he left with all that, you know, mental baggage, coming to a new organization, and then playing at the level he's playing at, you could argue, okay, he's playing with Durant and Irvin, but I just think he's just played so spectacular this last month and a half. I just think he's going to be able to sustain it for the rest of the season, and that's why I have him chosen as my pick.
Kerry, in the Western Conference, why aren't people buying into Utah's had an unbelievable first half, 27-9. Phoenix is second in the West, 23-11, but people seem to poo-poo both of them. Why aren't people buying into those two teams?
I think they just have to prove it. I think Utah has we did it, my team, with the Nets, right? We came out of nowhere. They're like, what's going on with the Nets? They're pretty hot this year. I think it was in 2002. And it wasn't until we sustained it throughout the regular season, went to the playoffs, you know, and went on to advance the first couple rounds. People are like, oh, the Nets are serious. So I think Utah has to do that. They have to sustain it through the season, holding on to that number one spot, or maybe even just slightly going to number two, and then advancing in the playoffs for us to realize, oh, okay, you know, I really could pick Utah to beat the Lakers or the Clippers in a series.
Kerry, I want to get back to Harden because I agree with you. I think he's very much in the running, and if the Nets run away with it in the second half, I think he's got a great chance to win it. But there are some that believe the way he left Houston, you know, he kind of threw his teammates under the bus. He dogged it for about five games. A lot of guys may hold that against him. What would you say to those that would say, you know, I just can't give him the MVP when, you know, what he did in Houston?
I mean, as a former player, I understand these things happen sometimes where players get disgruntled. They want to look for a new situation. Obviously, that's what Harden was experiencing. And he even said that he wished he probably would have did a couple of things differently. I just think I kind of can look past that and that bad marriage ending the way it did. And I'm looking for how he's played since then, right? I'm looking for how has he been able to regroup as a player mentally and make the necessary adjustments. So put yourself in this MVP conversation. I think that's remarkable. Which player has ever done that? Gotten traded early on during the season or midway through and then just been able to play at this level? It's incredible to me.
Kerry, what about the Knicks? 18-18 at the break. People in New York, some dancing in the streets. But there's like a bunch up.
Literally.
You know, there are, from 10th, the Knicks are 5th right now, but there's Miami, Toronto, Indiana, and Chicago all hovering like a game away from where they are. Do the Knicks hang on? Can they make the playoffs, or will they fall behind and maybe, you know, fall out of the playoffs? What do you think?
No, I think the Knicks will make the playoffs this year. I really do. And it's remarkable that, you know, Tibbs can do that with this group. You look at the team, right? They don't really have any superstars. And so for them to be in this position where they're at now, considering where they were the last few years, I think it's pretty good. And I think they'll sustain it. I think they'll be down somewhere around that 6-7 spot come the end of the regular season. And they're just a scrappy team. I mean, it's not pretty. When you watch them play, it's not pretty. But they're getting it done. They're maximizing what they have on their roster. And, you know, I think Miami is going to definitely improve as the season goes on. But the Knicks are good. I mean, they're much better than they were last year.
I'm not sure how much you've seen of him, but the rookie of the year so far would be LaMelo Ball. And they're actually right behind the Knicks. They're the 6th seed in the East, a half a game behind the Knicks. And since he's been starting for about a month, he's averaged like 20 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. I mean, he's playing great. Have you seen enough of him to say you think he'll be a star or he won't? Or, you know, tell us about what you think his future holds.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a very, very dynamic player for a long time in the league. Have you ever seen a young kid play with that just freedom in his mind? I mean, he's playing like he doesn't have a worry in the world. And I love his confidence. I mean, listen, professional sports, basketball is no different. It's all about your mental confidence and yourself and how you believe in yourself. He's got that. He's got the skill set with the ball handling and the court vision. He loves to play in space. Right, today's game is all about space, so I think he's going to have a bright future. To say he's going to be a star, that's kind of, I don't know if he'll get there. Maybe he's not super explosive off the ground, but he gets to where he needs to get to. He's a great finisher. He makes the defense pay. It's just you don't know where he's going to pass the ball to. So, I mean, now that he's getting the start, now that he's getting this, we'll see. You know, teams are going to start to adjust to how he's playing and try to figure him out. But he's a very dynamic player. I love what he's doing.
What's going to happen in Boston with Brad Stevens? They're only one game above 500. Is there any chance that if this thing doesn't get righted, that there could be a change there?
Yeah, unfortunately, I said that early on. I thought that Boston was going to be that team that took a dip this year. I just, you know, it just
really?
Seems
so
like
you saw
just
it coming.
At that point in their tenure of being together where, you know, the same voice, and it's a great voice. I love Stevens. I think he's a great coach. But if something's going to change, it's probably going to be him. But Kemba Walker's been playing better. He was probably, to me, the only tradable real asset to make something shift with that roster. But he's been playing better. You know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I think Brad Stevens has to try to figure this thing out. Can he get Boston back in that upper conversation where they can at least make it to that second round? But, yeah, it's a little bit troubling what's going on there in Boston.
Are you excited, Kerry, about watching the All-Star game?
I am. After what they did last year with changing it and resetting the scoreboard, I thought it was, you know, it made it more compelling down the stretch. You know, you saw the level of competition go up. I mean, it was intense. So, yeah, I want to see the game because of how we ended last year. But that's about it. I mean, I'm not interested in the rest of the festivities.
So not the dunk contest, none of that.
You can't even know who's going to be in the dunk contest, right?
Were you in the dunk contest one year, Kerry?
No, not me. No,
you weren't. Okay. I thought
I remember you were in the layup contest, right?
Exactly. I probably should have did the 3-point shooting contest one year, but no, it's I mean, it's, you know, listen, the dunk contest last year was exciting, but it's hard for them to draw the big names, the big name players. They look at it now as an all-star. It's more of the break part, not the all-star part. It's like the players love it because it's a break from playing. Right. They don't want to stress their bodies out necessarily. The competition isn't necessarily there, and they've yet to figure out a way of getting their more bigger name players to be in the dunk contest. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I want to keep having it because it seems like every 8 years or so we talk about, man, they should get rid of the dunk contest. And then some kids come along and it's great. You know, Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon. So they could have had a great one this year. This was my dream lineup. Zion, Ja Morant, Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, and Derrick Jones Jr.
Wow. That's 85-ish, right? I think that would
right. That would have been awesome.
I agree. Yeah. To see those five guys go at it, I mean, yeah, that would have been fun. But you know, they don't enter the contest. Why? I don't know why they don't do it. It's just, I don't know. Especially with Zion and what he can do, his young legs. I mean,
yeah, I don't get. I mean, look, having it at halftime of the game for a guy that's in the game, that could be tough. But
yes.
Overall, I don't know. I don't know why I wouldn't do it. All right, that's our man, Kerry Kittles. We appreciate the knowledge, brother.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Have a good weekend.
All right, my man. Peace. It is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. And look, LeBron James has single-handedly offended an entire NBA fan base. We will get into that next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Who, me?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a TV theme song Thursday. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS, and you can save a whole lot of money on your car insurance. Rob, we got a little change of direction. Apparently something LeBron James said during the All-Star draft has just gone viral. And here it is. It's killing. Fans in Utah are going nuts, Rob. Here it is.
I just want to say something because there's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games.
And that's because, Rob, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob G, they went last. They were the last two. Yeah, this. So in Utah, Rob, they got their panties in major bunches. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, obviously, they got the best record in the West, and their two players are poo-pooed or discounted or acted as if they don't matter in the All-Star, and that's when you play in Utah. You might as well be in NBA Siberia. That's what Utah is. Even in the heyday, people just don't look at Utah as that place you want to be or play, and some guys have played there and been great. We already mentioned those guys, but I'm not shocked. I think everybody discounts Utah.
I tell you what's interesting. I get Gobert. There are some guys that just aren't going to be very good in the All-Star game setting. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Jokic will really get a chance to shine. He had to be picked early. He was a starter. Gobert, you know, he's not going to really be able to shine in a game like this. I get that. I tell you what, I'm baffled by Donovan Mitchell. Like, how he goes last. That's just, you can't just blame LeBron for that. Kevin Durant was picking two. I'm shocked that Donovan Mitchell went last, Rob. Him and Gobert. That's the one that shocks me.
Yeah,
really, because his
not.
Game is exciting. You know, it's
fun. But they haven't won anything. They don't look Utah.
Yeah, but half the guys haven't won anything.
No, I know,
I mean,
but
you know
just,
what I mean?
But it's discounted. I'm just saying, being in Utah, I don't think people think about Utah or think about their players or what they're doing for the most part. I just think that they're understated, forgotten. So I'm not totally surprised that players from the Utah Jazz are the last picks because I just think they're under the radar. Nobody really thinks about them or cares about Utah.
Rudy Gobert kind of said he maybe saw this coming yesterday. Do we have the sound of it, Rob G?
No, but I do got the quote. It's kind of funny that this happened today because yesterday after they lost to the Sixers with some shoddy officiating that went down, this is what he said after the game. When you're a small market, after playing in this league for 8 years, it's a little harder. And that's one of the things that we've got to overcome. That's what I told the guys, you know, when you're a small market, we got to just be better than just better. You've got to be elite. We've got to control what we can control. But it's very disappointing to be disrespected like that.
It was a bad call on Mitchell, right? That offensive foul was a horrible call. And maybe Utah would have won that game. But I'm not buying into the whole small market thing. They're not the only small market. Milwaukee's a small market. Heck, Miami technically is a small market, but obviously they've got glamour. Oklahoma City was a small market when they had their great players. I'm not buying into that. I think it was just a bad call. It was just a random, horrible call. That's my view. I mean, remember the other game? What was it? The Clippers and Brooklyn were playing, a week or two ago? And Kawhi Leonard got called for the offensive charge. Remember that offensive charge on the game-tying layup against James Harden? Why was that? Was that because the Clippers don't get respect or what? No, it was just a bad call randomly. That's my view, Rob.
Yeah. No, I mean, small markets always feel like they don't get the calls. The league doesn't really want them to advance. I mean, it's just a small market mentality, and sometimes they don't get calls, but I don't think it's all the time. A lot of times they're just bad calls.
Right.
And there could be bad calls in games, but the overriding feeling from the national media and people are, oh no, we don't want that matchup. They never wanted the Spurs. I mean, that's just a fact. They were just good, but nobody wanted them. And they had some of the lowest rated NBA finals were with the Spurs involved, despite how good they were. When Kerry Kittle's team went, those are two of the lowest rated NBA finals as well. And they were metropolitan New York, but nobody in New York watched. Nobody cared. You know, so those are the ones that those markets where people go, oh, no, the NBA doesn't want this matchup. No, can't be them. You know, you think baseball wanted Tampa Bay or the Yankees to play the Dodgers?
Right.
Tampa Bay was better. They won.
When you're a small market like that, you've got to have a great culture. And look at San Antonio. It's a great culture. Oklahoma City, you know, before they lost everybody. But even still, they still have a solid culture. And Utah, Rob, it's interesting how this team reminds me, not exactly the same, they don't play the same way necessarily, but they remind me of those old Jazz teams that met Jordan in the finals. Just similar culture. They got to build it the same way. We got an hour left. Keep it locked. Odd Couple.